Welcome to the teaching ministry of Joe McGee. It's a common myth that some people are just lucky in life, but anything great has to be purposefully built. You don't just happen to find a great marriage, family, or life. You build one. Let's listen in as hope is restored through the knowledge of God's Word and gain the skills we need to build something great. And now, here's Joe.
Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. Today we're going to be talking about your child's social life. The greatest influence it's ever going to be on your kids is their social life. If the devil's going to try to get at your children or my children, the way he's going to do it is through their social life, through their peers, their friends. You know, every child starts out the same way. They learn about relationships inside their own family. That's the first relationships they establish with their mom, their dad, their siblings, you know, their brothers and sisters. But as they begin to get older, you know, go to school, get invited out, go to a party, go to a friend's house, other peers begin to have more of an influence on them. And what we've established while they were at our house is going to determine whether or not they'll be able to survive going through all these different relationships. Because when they go out of the house, they got to learn how to assert themselves. You know, your kids in the classroom. One thing to be in your living room playing with your own toys at home. It's another thing to be thrown in the classroom with 32 other kids. So they got to learn how to assert themselves, how to handle bullies, how to make new friends, how to hold on to old friendships as they go from one year to the next. And sometimes as parents, we forget just how hard that is. You know, the friendship process, making friends, holding friends, fitting in, being a part of the group, not being isolated, not being made fun of. And so the training in this is something we don't really do aggressively sometimes. We just do passively because the only time we see our children is when they're in our home setting. We do not see them where they spend 165 to 175 days a year in a school situation, at some local school. We don't see. How they act there may not be anything close to how we see them act at home because they're in a different environment. They're trying to survive down there. So in order to help them do that, there's certain things we can do as a parent. I want to give you a list of them. So if you've got a pencil, take some time, get a pencil, some paper. Things parents need to do to build a good quality relationship with their kids when they're home early. Number one, you need to do things together. Participate in activities together. Kids visit and talk when you do things together. Former president of Wheaton College, Dr. Edmond, said this one time. He said, if I had my life to live over and had a chance to raise my kids again, he said, I would spend more time with my children in non-religious activities. He's not talking about not going to church, not reading our Bible. I just hang out with them. The things your kids remember the most as they begin to get older, you'll hear them reminisce. They come back for Thanksgiving or call or visit. The things and the times children remember the most are not the birthdays or the Christmases or the anniversaries or the family reunions. The things kids remember the most are just those casual times you have together. Those times you're just talking, you're just doing something, washing dishes, working on something at the house or car, painting something. It's those times when you're really not eyeball to eyeball that kids will open up and talk to you about stuff. So you need to plan more activities together. Going for a walk, a hike, go shoot some hoops, you know, rake the yard. Do things together where you can have time to talk and build memories together. Because that fellowship, there's where they open up. No child opens up by saying, hey, sit down, I want to talk to you. They don't like that. But they'll talk to you if you do things with them. So you're going to have to get more involved with a child if you want them to open up and truly be able to relate to you. Number two, got to communicate frequently. Now, I know in a busy world today, in our busy society, that's a challenge sometimes, but you've got to find a way, whether it's by phone, leave a note, try to do something we can eat together with some sort of regularity. You need to have some regular communication. If it's daily, it's the best, even if it's just a short conversation. You maintain contact because there's two things Christians don't realize. We have a relationship with God. We're saved, going to heaven, been born again, but that doesn't mean we have great fellowship with God. Fellowship's what everybody's challenged with. You know, how well have I fellowshiped? You know, have we talked lately? You know, you can be married to somebody for years. My wife and I have been married 35 years. We have a relationship. I got a piece of paper that proves that. That doesn't mean we have fellowship. That doesn't mean we're talking all the time or visiting. You can grow really far apart and be married. Some of the loneliest people in the world are married people who are busy trying to pay the bills and do stuff, and they just sort of strangers passing in the daytime or the nighttime. And so that's no fellowship. See, God even wants us to spend time with him. That's why Jesus did it. He'd pull away from time to time, and he'd go pray, and he'd fellowship with his Father. That's why he knew what the Father said. And that's why he talks about having a Sabbath, you know, and having a day of rest where you sit and meditate and get quiet and think about God. You know, remember how good he's been to you and fellowship with him. because there's where you maintain the tightness. That way, if you need to hear something, you can hear it well. But people don't fellowship. They don't trust one another. You ever notice that? You go to yell at each other. What are you talking about? What's the matter with you? What are you thinking? What is that? That's two people that may be married, but they're not fellowshipping. They're in a relationship, not fellowship. So you want to have times of regular communication with your kids so they readily open up to you. Otherwise, they'll drift and not do it. Number three, they need to see express affection for each other, especially if you're husband and wife. There's a saying that is so true. The best thing you'll ever do for your child is love their spouse. The greatest thing you'll ever do for your children is love your spouse, because that's what they're going to go duplicate. That's what they're looking at. It's not the rules or regulations. You need those, but what they're going to learn the most from is how you love one another. Hug, kiss, touch, laugh, hang out together. You know, you need to show affection, especially if you're a parent, especially if you're a single parent listening. Men, make sure you're hugging your kid on some regular basis, some regularity. Smile at them. Give a nice word. Communicate with them. That's how you establish relationships. You know, people go to school. We send ambassadors that represent our nation to school to learn how to communicate and relate to people of different cultures. So instead of blowing one another up, maybe we sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about our grandkids. Let's find some common ground to sit down and start to communicate with. Shape your child's choices of friends by doing several things here. Now, these are going to stretch you, but these are all very effective. This is how you can shape your child's future and their relationships by who they hang with, who they don't hang with. Number one, be very prayerful and careful about choosing where you live. Choose where you live. You know, this is a free country. We can live anywhere we want to. And many times, you know, you find yourself packed into a situation where you got a lot of negative influences on your children. They're going to rub off. I don't care what you tell them. You now become like who we hang around. As iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 13:20 says, go from the presence of a foolish man, or not go from, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. So I don't want a bunch of fools hanging around my kids. I don't want my kids hanging around fools, you know. Pray for them. I don't want you hanging with them. So the biggest thing I can do to help my kids on a daily basis, so I'm not having to have eagle eyes on them all the time, make sure I'm living somewhere where I feel safe and secure about who's around, who they're around, who might come up in the driveway and might not. Choose where you live. Give some prayer to that, because that's where your kids are going to build memories about their childhood. Number two, selecting a neighborhood with good schools. You know, having so many kids, I've always thought about schools. What kind of school do they have? You know, if you're a real estate agent, you're always throwing that out because they're asking. Well, what about the school system? I really like the house. I like the neighborhood close to work. But what about the school system? Good schools? Tell me about the schools. Are they known for crime and drugs? Are they known for academics and athletics and known for music? What are they known for? That's why you got to go visit and find out. Because my child's going to spend the bulk of their waking hours not at my house, but at that school. Because most of the time at my house is going to be spent sleeping. They're going to spend a third of their life sleeping. So what kind of school system they got? Number three, teach your own children how to behave. Because like kind draws like kind. A rowdy child will draw another rowdy child. Sweet kid draws another sweet kid. Like kind draws like kind. So teach your child about manners, about etiquette, how to behave, how to talk, how to treat other people. Number four, you monitor their kids and supervise them. You keep an eye on them. You ask questions. Where have you been? Who are you talking to? I want to know constantly. So it's not in our family, it's not like we're grilling you anymore. It's just a natural process of, you know, keeping in touch. Even my kids in high school, kids went to college. Now, I expect a phone call. I want to know where you've been. When you're leaving, I want to know when you leave. I want to know when you're on the road, if you're heading home from school. I want to know. It's just a courtesy call. But you know, it does several things to them. It lets them know somebody loves me. Somebody's watching out after me. Somebody's thinking about me. You know, they'll grab some. Man, you don't need to know everything. Yes, I do. There's a couple of rules I have in my house that are not thus saith the Lord. As long as I'm writing checks and paying for you, I have a right to know. You know, now when you're a full-grown adult living on your own with your own paycheck, I don't have to know everything. You know, we're just now brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm not necessarily your daddy. Your mama's not your mommy. But yeah, as long as I'm writing checks, I need to know. I'm 18. You can tell me what to do. If I'm writing a check, I do. If I'm paying for you, I can tell you what to do. You're not an adult. You can pay for yourself. And if you can't do that, then you shouldn't be so arrogant and proud, because you need people's help. And there's nothing wrong with needing help. But don't go getting arrogant about it, because you're not that mature yet. Mature people are able to take care of themselves and others. You're still working on taking care of yourself. So let's not get too arrogant here. Let's just stay calm. So other thing is keep monitoring, watch what they do. Don't let your kid get isolated in their bedroom. I've got a real different philosophy about this over the years in parenting. Bedrooms should not be apartment complexes. You should not be able to self-sustain yourself with your own refrigerator, your own CD, your own big screen TV, your own microwave in your bedroom. That's not an apartment up there. That's a bedroom. In my opinion, bedrooms ought to be small, you know, not big. You know, that's not a social atmosphere up there. Have a bed, get in there, go to sleep, get out, come down here with the family. Down here we have all the stuff you can enjoy in life, from big screen TV to computer setups. You know, they got basketball courts and swimming pools. Come on down and be amongst people. Because isolation is where the devil really starts messing with your mind. It's not good to get isolated. You know, isolation is a form of punishment, both in the New Testament and the Old. Separate yourself. Don't fellowship with them. Don't eat with them. You know, solitary confinement in prison. So watch about letting your child have a whole, you know, community up there in that bedroom. Really want to do that, because that's where they'll be doing text messaging, cell phone calling, and, you know, internet running. When you do that, I want you to be among people. So when you come home at night, you put your keys up on the hook, lay your cell phone right there with everybody else's. I want you, when you're talking, I want to be able to hear you talk. Otherwise, the devil can really start messing with your mind. You know, you limit the phone call conversation. After a certain period of time at night, you don't talk to people. Normal people who had a productive, busy day go to sleep at night. You go home, go to dinner, relax a little bit, read a book, you know, do some study. If you're in school, you should always be doing some kind of study. If not, you should have some kind of hobby that you do. But to stay and spend 2 and 3 and 4 hours not on the phone, I'm going to tell you what happens, Mom and Dad, that creates soul ties. You know what a soul tie is? Somebody get inside your kid's head. That's why kids are, all of a sudden, you've paid for them and fed them and clothed them and taken them to the little league and bought them Christmas gifts and had birthday parties, and all of a sudden they spend 24 hours with another individual, and all of a sudden you're an idiot. And this other person is the smartest person in the world. And that's how soul tie happens. Whoever has authority and influence has your ear. So that's why, you know, the Bible says there's sin in the multitude of words. You go talking too much, eventually you're just going to be talking stupidity. So let's keep our conversation. Let your yeas be yeas, your nays be nays. All else proceeds from the evil one. We can have social situations, do things together, have kids over, do something. But I'm not going to give your own world to revolve around, and up there pretty soon you're not talking to me anymore. You know, text messaging is a really neat invention, but the problem with that is you don't learn how to communicate. If I'm talking to you, I'm watching you, I'm reading your reactions, seeing what you're hearing, what I'm saying. We're actually in real serious communication. Texting, I don't have to worry about what you say or what you think. I just hit it and send it and go on about my business. It's not hard to learn how to communicate if you do that. You won't be a very good communicator, especially males. So think about that. So monitor your kids, supervise them. If you're going to help, you know, build their social life, teach them how to meet people, carry on conversations. Teach them what to share and not share. Some things are not open to the public. You know, they're just not that they're wrong. They're just personal things. We don't share certain things about our family. We don't talk about money. Don't talk about sex. There's certain things you don't talk about. You know, you don't share things about personal things about your family, what they're going through. Those are family issues. Those are privacy issues to be held within the home. And what you share about your own personal life will be between you and God, whoever it is you're trying to talk about. But again, there's sin in a multitude of words. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29 that a fool empties his whole brain on the table, tells everything he knows. You shouldn't do that. You know, be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath, the Bible says. Proverbs 15, a soft answer turns away wrath. So you need to learn how to communicate by doing it one-on-one. So watch about the isolation. The fifth thing is getting to know other families in the community. You know, my kid's going to go spend the night with somebody or hang out. I want to know something about the parents. I don't know about the kid. It's not the kid I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the family that supports the kid or oversees the child or supports the child or corrects, disciplines the child. I want to know what the family values are. So that's why picking neighborhoods are real important. Pick the people. And constantly ask questions. Well, you know so-and-so. You ever had your kid tell this? Well, you know so-and-so. They go to school. And I might know them from seeing them walk out to a bus or seeing them walk out to talk to you, but I don't know them, and I sure don't know their family. So before you go spending a lot of one-on-one time with somebody, I want to know their mom and dad. I want to go to their home, see what they read, see what they look at, see what they talk about, see what their values are. You know, how regular they go to church. Are they saved? I want to know something about them, because you will become like who you hang around. A companion of fools will be destroyed. But if you walk with wise men, you will become wiser. So I want to raise a wise child. Now then, here's some things to think about. Having good relationships. Now listen to this. I wrote these out in statements because I've seen this in counseling over the years and done some great study on this. Teenagers are likely to have good friends. That's friends who don't smoke, drink, cuss, fornicate, or whatever. Kids are probably going on to careers in college. Teenagers like to have good friends if they have a good relationship with their own parents. That means we're talking. You know, we're not perfect. We're not right. I'm just telling you what our family values are. And evidently, we share those because we're sharing with you, and you share them with us. And And so that means you'll probably pick people, friendships, who are thinking like we do, not usually the opposite. When teens and their parents are reported having good relationships between themselves, the teens had friends who are more likely, less likely to fight. They're not delinquent in attendance at school, more likely to be involved in extracurricular activities, have higher grade point averages, and have plans for college. Why is that? Well, because responsible parents are working, are planning, are listening to God, trying to expand the world, and their kids just sort of pick it up and think, this is how you live, this is normal. You know, we're not just hanging out. You know, one of the things that has a tendency right here, especially extracurricular activities, if you're going to college, they really are not that high on your GPA. I know we push that all the time. I'm telling you what college admissions people are looking for. They're looking for well-rounded kids. Are you a loner? That scares college people, a loner, because God made people to be around people. So if you don't have any relationships, if you don't belong to any clubs, if you don't play golf or you know, racquetball, do you meet anybody or are you just sitting at home in your room all by yourself? That's scary. You know, you don't want to do that. You know, isolation, you know, the devil starts messing with your mind. You got to be around people if you want to grow. So make sure you're involved with them. You know, if you're involved with them, they're more likely to pick good friends. Great book called Parents on Trial, David Wilkerson, of whom they made the movie, Crossing the Switchblade. Great fame, started Teen Challenge Ministry, getting kids off the street, very successful ministry, has a church on Times Square in New York. Wrote a book called Parents on Trial. And he said, I asked every one of my teenagers in the early years in my Teen Challenge program, I said, how'd you get involved in this mess, drugs, vandalism, prostitution, theft? He said, they all gave him the same answer. Pastor Dave, we got involved when a friend invited us. He said, when did you smoke your first joint? He said, a friend gave me one. So when did you steal your first car? Friends asked me to go along. When did you get first arrested for vandalism? Friends and I were hanging out. He said, guys, the Bible says a friend is somebody who will die for you, not somebody who will get you killed. So that's not a friend. That's a nightmare. And so he said, I went to the parents of all those teenagers in the early years of my Teen Challenge program, and I asked them the same question. Mom and Dad, when did you start to lose control of your child? This child that you had, that you burped and fed and trained to talk and walk and dress himself, you had birthday cake for, when did you start to lose them? And he said, every parent gave me the same answer. We began to lose them, Pastor David, when they started to hang with the wrong crowd. If the devil's going to try to get at our children, listen to me, Mom and Dad, he will do so through their social life. He doesn't come with horns on his head or a pitchfork or dragging a tail behind him. That's not what he looks like. He'll look good. He'll sound good. So if you don't have strong family values as to what you believe is right or wrong, somebody else can come in there and smile real big, say nice things, and take your kid off some goofy theological path because they don't know what it is they believe or who they believe in. So I want to make sure that we give that some thought. So a great book if you still find it, Parents on Trial. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures on friendship. I want you to look at this. A friend is somebody who will tell you the truth. The Bible says, mark those that are given to flattery. To the degree a person will flatter you to your face is to the depth they could put a knife in your back. Jesus said it this way. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. We talked about 1 Corinthians about talking about love. Love is an action word, not a feeling. Yet most of us think love is where you feel that Twitter-pated feel. No. No, it's an action word. Now listen, this is great scriptures. Proverbs 27:17. It said, as iron strikes iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If you have a real friend, they will tell you the truth. You cannot grow if somebody won't be truthful with you. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Friend will tell you the truth. He didn't care how it hurts. So I know this isn't going to make you feel good, but I need to tell you the truth because I love you and I need you to change. Proverbs 27:9. The hearty counsel of a friend rejoices the heart. You know, the Bible says truth will set us free and keep us free. If you really love me, please tell me the truth. Don't lie to me. Don't not tell me what it is I need to hear. You know, you don't really love me if you don't care what happens to me. But if the fact that you love me, that means you care what happens to me, you'll tell me the truth. Can't have a friend until you know how to be one. Proverbs 18:24. To have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Matthew 7:12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's a real simple law. It's a law of seed time and harvest. If I want to have a great friend, first I've got to know how to be a great friend to somebody. You almost have to sow it. Now then, here's what you do. You need to develop some conversation skills. Any public library will have a book on etiquette, and any book on etiquette has a chapter on how to communicate or start a conversation. So three things you need to know. Your child will need to know if they're going to succeed in the world. How do you start a conversation? How do you carry on a conversation? How do you end a conversation? The way you start a conversation is you look for common ground. You know, you're in the same class. You're taking trig too? You taking algebra? You're taking history? He said, yeah. So you like it? No. You need to start a conversation with just looking the common thing around you. Who are you? Well, you must have something in common. We're in the same place doing the same thing. So ask about that. How to start a conversation. How to carry on a conversation. You carry on a conversation by asking questions. People are thrilled to talk about themselves. They love to share about what they've been through, what they're excited about, where they're going. You want to keep a conversation going. I don't have that dead silence. You just need to ask questions about people. People love to talk about themselves. Plus, you can learn more about them. So learn how to carry on a conversation and learn how to end a conversation where somebody didn't keep you hung up for an hour talking about something you really needed to be somewhere else an hour ago. Learn how to make a decision that your life is scheduled out. I've got so much time, and I'm sorry, I really like to keep this up, but I've got to go somewhere else. I've got to be somewhere else. Keep a day timer, a day planner, or something. So you're always got, your life is scheduled. It's not just an open calendar. You have things to do. Now then, the other thing is maintain good hygiene. Very hard to have friends if you smell and you stink and you have not brushed your teeth and you got body odor. You know, I've had kids that we've had to talk to, especially in junior high sometimes. They're starting to grow and the hormones are starting to come out, especially young boys. Well, no, how come girls don't like me? How come nobody likes you? And they'll be sitting across my desk and number one said, you stink. So I don't know what happened. Maybe you didn't shower or bathe after a PE or recess, but you smell bad. So you need to start using the underarm, get you some good cologne. Brush your teeth, carry a toothbrush to school with you if you need to. But hygiene is real important. People don't like hanging out with skanky people. It's just that simple. I don't care how great you think you are, you're going to have to clean up. So clean yourself up. Good hygiene. Great organization in America is called the Toastmasters to help businessmen learn how to speak up more. Basically what they do that's very successful, you have a business luncheon. Everybody shows up, you register the door because you join the organization. You never know when it's going to happen. You may just sit at a table, visit with other businessmen in the community, network, maybe strike some deals, maybe just be a blessing and just learn by their conversation. But at some point during that year, they're going to call your name out because the whole deal of Toastmasters is to get you up in front of your fellow peers during lunch, which means you're going to miss about 5 minutes of eating. You get to the platform and somebody's going to give you a subject to talk on. You don't know what it is ahead of time. They just sort of pull it out of the bag at the last minute. For example, your subject today, Joe, is going to be elevators. We'd like you to share with all the successful businessmen in our community what you know about elevators. And you have to talk nonstop for 5 minutes, usually about something you know nothing about. And the whole point is to let you know that you will not die, pass out. Life will go on. The sun will come up in the morning. So it's a great thing to learn. So if you get anything by the Toastmasters, they've got some great books and products to teach you how to communicate, how to stand up, face people, carry on a conversation. You don't know how to do a business deal. So get that and learn that. One is a lonely number in the Bible. Think about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, two are better than one. They have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. One is not a good number. Isolation. There's no mavericks in the world that ever built anything worth reading about. It always took more than one person. So learn about people, about networking. Matthew 18 verse 19 says this, again I tell you that if any two of you on earth agree about anything you shall ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Two's a great number. Thoughts on friends, listen to this, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Friend loves at all times, nothing like a friend. All the time, when you're likable, when you're not likable, when you're happy, when you're not happy, friends know your strengths and weaknesses and they still like you. Again, Proverbs 27, verse 10, thy own friend and thy father's friends forsake not. It says you need to even take care of your father's friend. You need to take care of him. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man you shall not go, lest you learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. You know what he's saying? Stay away from angry people, can't control their temper. You're going to learn to act like that. It's going to cost you. Proverbs 13:20, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Then Proverbs 14:7, I love this. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. I've told my kids, you hanging around somebody talking trash? I said, would you like a few pounds of that? No, then turn around and walk down the hall and go somewhere else. Get away from somebody if they start talking a certain way. Would you like some of what they just said? No, then get away from them. That's how you know who to hang around is by what they say. Now there's this 19, I'm going to close real quick, give you these 19 kinds of people in the New Testament where to stay away from. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, that says, in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And it talks about, and here's the list in modern English. New Testament, stay away from these people. Stay away. You ought to say, I will stay away from these people. And here they are. Those who love only themselves. those who love only their money, boastful people, proud people, those who mock God, those who are disobedient to their parents, ungrateful people, those who consider nothing sacred, unloving people, unforgiving people, those who slander others, those who have no self-control, cruel people, those who hate what is good, those who betray their friends, reckless people, those puffed up with pride, those who love pleasure more than they love God, and people who act religious but reject the power of God. Then it says the same thing in Proverbs 1. It says, shun, stay away from sinners, my son. And then this last one, Psalms 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or seat of the scorners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. If you go through and read Proverbs 1, Psalms 1, what we just read here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, God's real good. He said, teach your children, make a list, put it on a card, stay away from these people. Don't hang with people that are disobedient to their parents. You'll pick that up. You kids can hang around somebody rebellious, and that spirit will jump on them. I'm telling you, it's demonically motivated. It's spiritual. Don't hang around people that do that kind of stuff. Man, you're different. You think different. Father, I thank you for giving us wisdom as parents to help guide our children through life, socially. That Jesus, you not only will be Lord of their eternity, you want to be Lord over their social life. So we give you permission today, Father. Be Lord over our child's social life. Send godly friends into their lives that will strike iron, cause them to grow and be all you want them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray God's best for you and your family. For more resources, to become a partner, or to share your story of hope restored, visit us at joemcgeeministries.com.